Just when you thought the midterm elections were over, North Carolina steps in with serious allegations of election fraud. In May, former pastor and Republican candidate Mark Harris stunned North Carolina during the primaries when he ousted three-term incumbent Robert Pittenger.
That was a big upset for Pittenger. He abruptly came to the stage behind me. He said he called Mark Harris, congratulated him, thanked his loved ones, and walked off the stage.
And then on election night in November, Harris went on to claim victory over Democratic challenger Dan McCready.
Well, I am a proud Republican. This race, at the end of the day, doesn't just come down to being about Republican versus Democrat. It was about ensuring all of the people of the 9th District that they're going to have a congressman who cares about all 8 counties and who works for them.
McCready conceded, losing by 905 votes out of the 283,317 ballots cast.
And to everyone who gave what they could in this race, thank you. Let's be proud today of what we did together.
But last week, something completely unexpected happened. The North Carolina Board of Elections voted not to certify Harris's win. The 9-person board, made up of 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans, and 1 independent, alluded to allegations of election fraud in North Carolina's 9th district. And now an investigation is underway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Here to help me understand exactly what went down in North Carolina and what it means for the state and the country's politics is Steve Harrison, political reporter for WFAE in Charlotte, and Michael Bitzer, professor of political science at Catawba College. Steve, Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael, why can't the board certify the election?
Well, they have discretionary authority to investigate allegations or any kind of misconduct that may be prevalent. And they have gotten word as of a week ago when they decided not to certify the race. There were issues and concerns that the vice chair at that time, now the chair of the State Board of Elections, brought to the board's attention. They opened up a hearing on Friday. They received some affidavits from voters in Bladen County about irregularities in terms of their absentee by mail vote. And I think that has really precipitated an almost an avalanche of news and concerns that are coming out of the 9th Congressional District.
And Michael, just so I'm clear, when we say irregularities in absentee voting, what does that mean?
Well, there were a very high percentage of absentee by mail requests that came in through particularly 2 counties, Bladen County, that's kind of the focus, but also Robeson County, that were never returned. And so that really kind of started to raise my concerns and looking at the data about that. But then you had in the affidavits, one voter say that a person from the Harris campaign came to her residence, asked for her absentee by mail ballot. She had only voted for 2 local offices, and the person responded, well, we'll go ahead and complete the rest and take care of it for you. So that is really something that has caught the attention and trying to understand more broadly how widespread that is.
Steve, the midterm elections feel like they've been going on, because they have been for quite some time now. Can you give us a reminder of who these 2 candidates are?
So Mark Harris is a former pastor at a uptown church in Charlotte, and he defeated Robert Pittenger, the Republican incumbent, in the May primary. It was a very close race. And then Dan McCready is a first-term candidate. He owns a company that makes solar panels and is a former Marine. So there were 2 new faces. This is a very pro-Trump district. I think the president won it by more than 10 percentage points 2 years ago. But because it was an open seat and because the Democrats felt they had a very good candidate, both sides poured a lot of money into the race.
Let's talk a little bit, Steve, because you've actually been doing some reporting on the ground out there. You spoke to some folks from Bladen Borough, like Beverly Tyler.
She came back and got it. I hadn't voted in a long time, and I didn't know nothing about voting, and I weren't going to do it. But I don't know nothing about the person, but I put 2 and 2 together when I see the news. I know why you're here.
So Beverly lives in a very tiny town in Bladen County called Bladen Borough, which was really kind of the hub of the absentee by mail, get out the vote effort by people working for the Harris campaign. And when she said they came back and got it, what she means is her absentee ballot, which is illegal. It's her ballot. In pretty much all cases, it's her responsibility. She can't turn it over to anyone. And so what happened in Bladenboro and throughout Bladen County is that there was a very aggressive push to get people to vote by mail, which is legal. That's okay in North Carolina. And it was kind of part of the strategy is to, it looks like, to get maybe voters who probably wouldn't go to the polls. Let's get them to vote by mail now. Let's lock them down. And if that's your strategy, I think they wanted to do more than just get them the ballot. They wanted to make sure they filled it out. And it looks like we're also coming by and harvesting them, as the term is called. Yeah.
Is that part of the election fraud that's being investigated right now? Is that an example of what we're talking about, Steve?
It is. We don't know the full scope of it, but that is illegal. And so I think kind of the question is going to be, is the harvesting of votes enough for the state board to call a new election? Or are they going to be looking for the harvesting of votes and maybe the idea of, and we don't know this, but the idea of having open envelopes and seeing McCready votes and saying, oh, you know, we're just going to throw these away. I mean, that's, we don't know that part of it yet, but where do you draw the line?
Yeah, and the other aspect is if the ballot was not secured in an envelope, and the harvester, the collector, whatever you want to define the person as, opened the envelope and looked at the ballot and saw that perhaps that particular race was not filled in, did they fill in for their respective candidate as well? There is just a lot of the puzzle pieces. We don't know what the puzzle actually looks like, we think, but a lot of these pieces are still missing, and that's part of what the state board is trying to investigate, and then we'll have a public hearing, an evidentiary hearing about it in the next couple of weeks.
We're talking about the investigation into election fraud that's underway in North Carolina's 9th District, and I also should mention that we at The Takeaway have reached out to the North Carolina Election Board, along with the offices of both Mark Harris and Dan McCready for comment, and have not heard back yet. Michael, you've been studying North Carolina politics for years. How surprised were you when you saw the Board of Elections make this decision?
I think it was a bombshell that went off in North Carolina politics a week ago now. It seems longer than that, but it was just a week ago when they announced that they were not certifying, meaning they were not going to make the results official, and that they were going to start an investigation. And I have racked my brains and have talked to colleagues who have been in the state longer than I have. They cannot recall such an instance at the federal level of such an issue and concern about the integrity of an election here in North Carolina.
Steve, when you're talking to folks on the ground there, is there a sense that we just heard from Beverly, but I'm wondering, are the other voters, do they trust the process right now, or are they equally concerned?
You know, it was interesting. I mean, the whole idea of absentee voting by mail is something that really only a few people really understand the rules and how it works. And I think the vast majority of people in the 9th District and in North Carolina, people just don't know. And so I think if someone comes to your door and signs you up for a ballot and offers to take it, I just don't think it raises many suspicions. There were some people who they swore they mailed it themselves. Then you go back and look at the records and their incomplete signatures and their vote doesn't count. I think it's an area that a lot of people don't know about. And kind of the guy in Bladen County, McCray Dallas, who is the consultant working with the Harris campaign, it's just his MO. He really hustles and gets people to do this. It's his kind of whole strategy. And it's a very unique one, and I don't know.
But
if
is it a legal strategy, Steve? I mean, that seems to be the what's at issue here.
You know, I think it is legal to knock on doors, and yeah, Michael, you go.
It's part of canvassing, and certainly it's any part of an effective campaign strategy for the ground operation. However, you cannot do certain things like ask for a ballot and promise that you will return it for a voter. That is illegal with very few exceptions. That is against the law in North Carolina. Some states allow it. California, you can do harvesting of absentee ballots. North Carolina, You cannot.
Also, Michael, North Carolina, it's not the first time we've heard reports about voter suppression, voter intimidation in the state. Can you give us a sense of whether what's happening now is in line with the state's political history, particularly when it comes to voter suppression of votes of poor North Carolinians and Black North Carolinians and on?
Yeah, certainly Bladen County, Robeson County is part of North Carolina's Black Belt that kind of stretches across the South, and it is a rural county. It is a very poor county, and certainly there have been times when in North Carolina's history, I think you tend to see the elites with the common people, you know, and the elites say, look, if you want a job in this mill or if you want a job in on my farm, I will expect you to vote the way I want you to vote. And so that has been part of North Carolina's history. There's also the racial component of, you know, right after Reconstruction, various riots in the state after elections and the intimidation that has been done in the past. But in the modern context, it's very hard to make a comparable event to what we're seeing play out. And we still don't know the full picture of what this is until probably the evidentiary hearing, at least.
And I was going to say one more interesting thing is that, you know, so we've talked a lot about these ballots being harvested and brought in. Kind of the other question is, there are in these two counties, Bladen and Robeson County, there are, is it about 3,000, more than 3,000 absentee ballots that were requested that were just never returned. And so what happened to those ballots? Usually, if you go to the trouble to ask for a ballot, you're going to return it. But especially in Robeson County next door, that you had very few people actually vote by mail, and you had tons and tons of ballots that went out and never came back.
60% of them. 60% of the requested absentee by mail ballots in Robeson County were never returned. Where are they?
And we're going to have to leave it there. Steve Harrison is a political reporter for WFAE in Charlotte, and Michael Bitzer is a professor of political science at Catawba College. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.